Come on in. Welcome aboard. It's the National Hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in our very own Elliot Friedman. Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. We'll get the latest on the big trade Friday night. The one that surprised Sammy because he didn't read my Sportsnet.ca trade board.
You literally told so many people, didn't see it coming. It's like, oh, was it written on Sportsnet in bold writing?
And then
I just didn't think they actually would. I understand that there's an idea of it, but actually pulling the trigger on trading him is insane.
And then I had the guys, they did a picture of all the trade faces, yeah. And I said, put Rantanen in the middle.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
And then people on social media said, like, all Sammy's buddies, like,
Sammy's
what's Kipper on?
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere.
He's on information, high on the fumes of information.
I will. A lucky guess.
I do.
I heard some things.
I will notice that you didn't bring up the Buffalo Bills and the Leafs are. Were you hoping to do that for a more national audience? Is that what you were hoping for?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For
okay.
sure. You want to just get a quick thought on, before we go to Elliot, on what you, you saw Saturday night or Sunday night?
It's just sickening. It's sickening. The Chiefs are just so good, and it just, you know, could they get a call? They take advantage of it.
Is it just two guys? Is it the quarterback and the coach?
It's the
quarterback.
Yeah.
And calling the right plays at the right time, like constantly.
They have a fantastic defense, one of the best defensive coordinators in the league, Steve Spagnuolo. It's just, they're really, really good, and everyone can whine about the call as much as you want. It was probably a first down, but the reason people are so upset about all the calls they get is because the Chiefs immediately turn around and rip your heart out the second that you give them an inch.
They cash in on the...
Every mistake you make, every good call they get, they immediately cash in. And I don't know where you go as a Bills fan, because you've gotten to this mountaintop, you've gotten to play these guys, and you just cannot beat them. And what would give you any hope that you're ever going to?
A lot of Bills fans are Leafs fans. This is
Leafs
years
Bruins.
To go. Of,
this is Leafs Bruins. It's Leafs Bruins.
They'll be back, I can tell you.
What would ever give you any hope that it's ever going to be different?
You don't have to have any.
Would I just
keep showing
I'm sick.
Up.
Would you feel better when Philadelphia wins the Super Bowl?
But now that the Chiefs are there, you kind of want to see them win because you want to see that you're alive for something that's happened never before. There's never been a three-peat in the Super Bowl. So now that they're there, you got to be like, oh, I guess I kind of want to see some greatness. But at the same time, it's like, I got to witness Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
I just can't stand anyone who thinks that, like, the league has, like, talked to the officials and was like, rig it. You know, like, that's not.
I'll have the conversation.
But
I will. They would love to have Taylor Swift there every time.
And I think all the officials are aware of that. The league would like that. And so maybe there's some inherent bias there because of that. But no one's directly communicating.
And yet another. Yet another exact Leafs parallel where all the fans are like, it's fixed.
It's fixed.
Anyways. I sucks. I'm sorry for Bills fans. It's just brutal.
We did touch a little bit in our Leaf Hour edition of our show on Rantanen, but it is worth a revisit, and we'll soon have Elliot Friedman to follow up on some details of what went on Friday night. But let's start with you, JB, just in terms of maybe swinging this a little bit towards Carolina and... Is it a good fit? Did they go out and get the best guy available? And is this going to be the difference between Carolina finding a way to get perhaps into a Stanley Cup final?
Well, you know, I've made the clumsy comparison to Kawhi before for the Raptors, and I know it's not exactly on point, but here's what's similar about it. You had a very good team that was continuously getting frustrated in the postseason and coming close. And the problem was you didn't have the elite talent of the teams who kept winning. So you do something desperate when a great player comes available to get the elite talent. Now, we have seen teams in the NHL come to that realization before. You need that being Vegas. Vegas got everyone's eighth best player, and they recognized they needed elite guys. They went out and they got elite guys. They won their cup. If you're Carolina, it's like, okay, we were good. We need to be great. We have an opportunity. I love it for the Hurricane.
I still stay in disbelief that the Colorado Avalanche actually traded
Montgomery. Dumb.
You just, like you said about there being stars in the league and trying to find stars in the league, you have three of the very best hockey players in the league. And it's not like Makar and McKinnon are over the hill. Like, it's like they're in the prime of their career.
The three of us could be on their team and they'd have a chance to win the cup.
They're in the prime of their career. And you trade away, like, even if he's going to walk, I don't know. I'm really struggling with the fact that they actually did it. I can't believe they actually did it.
Kip, tell us why they did it.
Yeah, they just stopped liking him, I guess.
That don't make no sense.
Except you mean that.
I do mean that. Yeah, I do. I do. I think he made it abundantly clear that he wanted to stay and try to still win championships. And they said, no, your time's up.
So this isn't ranting and saying, I want every nickel.
No.
I want someone who's going to pay me the most.
No. And I think he spoke today, if I'm not mistaken. I think he spoke today after Kane's practice.
Did he speak today? Well, I grabbed a clip from him after the game yesterday.
And not to, completely quote him here, but it was like, I offered them a significant discount.
Wow. Yeah.
And like, not discount, significant discount.
Absolutely insane. We need answers.
To speak more of that, let's welcome in our very own Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts, and still not an owner of a brush.
Looking good, though.
This is not bad.
Not bad.
This is pretty good.
Not bad. It's fine.
Good volume.
It's fine. Okay, Elliot, where do we start here just in terms of how this escalated to a trade that should have been around the trade deadline, no?
Well, the timing shocked me, Nick, 100%. I think we talked about this after one of the regionals we did, and we were thinking, we were talking about what we thought we could happen. And at the time, I think I said trade, but I didn't think it was going to be now if he wasn't signed. It was earlier than I thought. You know, I was listening to you guys talk, and as always, it's a great conversation. And I read Rantanen's quotes today, too. And also, he spoke to a Finnish newspaper, I believe, on the weekend and said something similar. You know, the one thing I don't have a great grasp of yet, guys, is what significant discount meant. I'd like to know the number because they've got McKinnon at 12.6, and what's Makar's number going to be? Like, I think that's the other part of this equation. What's Makar's number going to be? Because Makar is going to be eligible for an extension after next season, summer of 2026, and by then the cap is going to be in the hundreds somewhere. So what's his number going to be? I think that's what happened here. I think the Avalanche number, I said it on the weekend. I said it today. No one's disputed it. I think their max number was around 11.75, which would have made Rantanen the highest paid winger in the league. And they were under the impression that would not do it. So, and again, I have no problem with anybody negotiating their best deal. I would do, like, I always try and negotiate the best deal. That's totally fine with me. But I'm under the impression the Avalanche will only go to 11.75 and it wasn't going to get it done. And they made the decision that that they were going to move on. Now, I think the thing here is, looking at the shock on everyone's face, if you go back to Landeskog's negotiation, that one went right down to July 1st and it got done. And all the Avalanche players, I remember McKinnon coming next year to the media tour and saying, I knew it was going to happen. There was no way he was leaving. I think every player in that room thought the exact same thing was going to happen. It was going to come right down to July 1st and it was going to get done. But the Avalanche, they thought they were going to lose leverage. And they just said, you know what? If it's not 11.75, we're going to move on. Absolute shocker. Absolute shocker.
Okay. We're for a second not going to care what he meant as significant discount. We're going to care what we think is a significant discount. Mm-hmm. So you tell me that let's do the hypothetical and say that 11.75 was the number. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me now, Elliot, that they go, if if you want 12, you're going to lose the deal. Joe Sakic and Chris McFarland were willing to lose the deal on one of the best wingers in the game today over $250,000 a year.
But Nick, that's a hypothetical I can't answer. Like, you might be right, but I don't know. I don't know.
But what do you think, 12. Elliot? What do you think?
What do I think?
I'm not losing that deal over $250,000 a year.
But Nick, here's the thing. Like, this is where I always get nervous, because if I come on and I say the number's 12 and they lost the deal over 250,
no, we're not.
You're not saying it, but I know the way the internet works, right? Like, that's the kind of thing that I'm worried about. I'm just saying that I Drysdale just signed for 14.
Yeah.
Same agency. Nick, there's a whole bunch of players. Like, what do you think Kaprizov's about to sign for?
But that's a different beast, because
Minnesota already said that I think we're going there.
But Minnie said we'll do whatever we can to sign him.
Right.
And clearly Colorado did not with Rantanen. Let me ask you, JB. Hold on for a second, Elliot.
Yeah.
Would 12 a year times 8 have been a significant discount for you?
It's a discount, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
But we don't know if that's the number. Like, right. I'd rather have more certainty on what, like, because I think Rantanen could make a real argument for 14. Like, I look at that and I say, hey, that guy, if you're going to tell me someone's going to pay him $14 million a year, I'm like, hey, man, he deserves it. So what's a significant discount from that? The answer is I don't know.
Nate McKinnon's at 12.6, okay?
Yeah.
Significant isn't 12.4. It's not 12.2. Significant is 12 or under 12.
I don't know if I agree with. I just don't know. Like, Nick, like, we're guessing. We're educating.
Guessing.
Okay, so are you telling me you think the number was 12?
I think they could have got it done at 12. I think he would have taken 12.
Well,
if that's
the case that this blew up over 250, then it's a mistake for both of them. No one's right if it blows up over 250.
That to me is significant.
But okay, so dollars and cents.
Yeah,
aside,
it's significant from 14, but it's not significant from 11.75 to 12.
Yeah. So here's my question then: the fact that there.
Do you think? Hold on, sorry.
Yeah, Jeff, no, no, go, go, go.
Like,
go.
Like Nick, like yeah. you're like you've been in this position before.
Yeah.
If the number is 11.75 or 12, if that's the case. Like, don't you think that that's insane that both sides?
Buddy, I think the whole thing's insane. And, yeah, you know, the information that I've gotten, Elliot, he was prepared to be paid under McKinnon. He didn't need 14. He didn't need Draisaitl. He didn't need to be higher than McKinnon. He was willing to be under McKinnon.
Okay. I mean, I would be curious to know exactly what that number is.
So, Elliot, have you ever heard anything then about Rantanen and Colorado, like them not getting along or anything? Yes, you have.
Not getting along, but I heard the negotiations. I've heard negotiations at the time were really tough.
Okay,
like it was.
Because that would
start
to make some
business.
Sense of this, right? If they're like, all right,
I think the player in the organization, I have no reason to believe that they didn't get along. He loved them, and they loved him. But, you know, when the last time that he was up was at the same time Marner. And, you know, a couple of people said to me, you know, you guys are in the center of the universe up there. And Marner's situation was in the front lines every day. And because it's Rantanen and it's Colorado, it wasn't as out there, but it was an equally hard negotiation. Really hard negotiation. And I do think that there were some, I don't know if hard feelings is the right word, but I do think that bled into this, Justin. Yes, I do.
You're watching and listening to Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. So, Elliot, this is now Tom Dundon and the Carolina Hurricanes taking a big swing twice in 2 years. They did the same thing for Guentzel, didn't get him. What are the odds this time around Tom Dundon gets Rantanen to stay on a long-term deal?
Did you see Empire Strikes Back, Nick, in the theaters when you were younger?
But I think we went together.
Han Solo, never tell me the odds. Like, that's Tom Dundon, right? He's so, look, I think they learned a lot from the Gensel thing last year. Number one, as Tulsky has pointed out, they didn't have the cap room they do now. They have a ton of cap room. Number two is that, you know, last time with Gensel gave them a number, and I don't think they gave it to him until like 2 days before free agency. And by that time, Gensel was like, no, it's too late. So I think, you know, like everybody, you learn your lessons. The one thing I do believe is this: they will go where they have never gone before, and they will make a big pitch at him. Is it enough? We'll see. You know, I think the Hurricanes like to do deferred money. They did it with Slavin. They did it with Jarvis. I'm not sure that's going to work here. The Oilers proposed it to Draisaitl, who's represented by Andy Scott, same agent as Rantanen, and they weren't crazy about that. So we'll see if there's any reason to feel any different this time. You know, one of the things the Hurricanes have talked about is they've never had one of the league's best players there, especially not since Dundon's been the owner. Like, they've had good players. Like, Aho's a hell of a player. Slavin's a really good player. But they've never had anybody at Rantanen's level. And they've talked about how much they would love to get their hands on this player. They go into it wide open. I think they'll be better prepared for it than Gensel. They were for Gensel. And I think that, you know, we'll see. I mean, they're going to have to offer him a massive number, because I got to think there's teams out there, Nick and Justin, that are looking at this like, okay, if he's going to hit the market, we're going to throw the number at him he wants. So unless they can convince him to take any kind of similar discount for Carolina, there's going to be a whispering sweet nothing that, you know, he's going to get it outside. I do think Carolina wants to take a big time shot at this. I think they're prepared to take a big time shot at this. And I think they will learn about their situation is different than last year. They'll learn what they did right and wrong last year. And honestly, Nick and Justin, I think they take a big run at it. I really do.
This is, people don't know, but that's Chicago took a boot to the face for their part in this trade in an agreement that Carolina wouldn't sign him so they could pick him up in the free agent market. I mean, it just feels like what a bizarre role they played in this. Taylor Hall felt like he was worth a third on his own. They retained some money.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think they were getting that high a pick for Hall. Okay. Especially, yeah, like Chicago said, and Davidson said this morning, they only had two retention spots left, and they weren't doing it for both players.
Right.
So they weren't tying them. I just don't think, you know, I don't want to salt Taylor Hall, but I just don't think the market for him was that strong. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, is that with this move, Chicago saves some cash. In a year where they're not making the playoffs, right, I don't think that's an insignificant thing to say to your financial people. You know,
you save $1.5 million.
$1,000. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's about $500,000 they save. Yeah.
So in the end, then, this deal takes an option for Vancouver off the trade table. Are you good to turn the page?
No. Well, I want to lead into that for sure. So okay. Do you want to, just in terms of Elliott's, for our 650 listeners out there, how close was a Nakash or a Rantanen ending up in Vancouver?
I think that on that day, the Hurricanes had to make a choice. Like, which deal were they taking? Were they taking the deal for Vancouver with Pettersson, or were they taking the deal with Colorado for Rantanen? And they chose the Rantanen deal. I think that's basically, Nick and Justin, what it came down to. Some people wanted Carolina to make a decision. I think Vancouver wanted to know. And I think Colorado made it. Like, if Colorado traded Rantanen right now, I don't think they were getting a better player than Natchez. So I think they had to know that that player was still on the table. So I think Carolina had to make that call.
And so what Vancouver's kind of left holding the bag a little bit here, that takes off one of their trading partners. I know we had talked about Miller and Pettersson. Kind of feels like they're stuck here. Is there going to be progress in Vancouver on moving one of those two stars?
I think they're going to keep looking at it. The Ranger thing, I don't know where that stands right now. You know, I've had some people say to me that one was a bit more complicated than has been even reported publicly, even by myself, on why that one got turned down. So I'm still trying to get to the bottom of that one. You know, I still think there are teams that are interested in Miller. I still think there are teams that are interested in Pettersson. I still think the Canucks are investigating all of this, but I do think their best trade probably for Pettersson was with Carolina, at least what Carolina had on the table. But I still do think that teams continue to talk to them and Vancouver continues to talk. So I kind of got to figure out where we are right now here.
Elliot, I don't know if you listen on Fridays, but sometimes we get this grumpy old guy on our show.
I do.
You're on every day.
Doug McLean.
Oh.
Easy. and, you know, he never tells us what's the truth, but he does tell us what sometimes he hears.
And I miss hearing that line around the office.
It's a very good line.
He did mention that perhaps Rick Tocchet may be growing tired of all of this. And the feeling is that he is in his last year of his deal. And the thought of maybe, you know, Rick maybe moving on. And Doug dropped Philadelphia as an option to go back home, you know, to an organization he's very familiar with breaking into the league. What are you hearing on that front in terms of, you know, outside of who they're going to trade and what happens to Rick Tocchet, who is in the last year of his deal, correct?
Yeah, well, he's in the last year of his deal. There's a team option for him on him next year, Nick. But I would really think if that he didn't want to coach, the Canucks would probably say, okay. I mean, you're not going to force someone to coach on a team option if they don't want to be there. But, you know, ultimately the Canucks would decide what that could mean for Tocchet anywhere else if we get to there. You know, I have kind of looked into that a little bit, and the word I get is too soon to talk about. But I do think that I do think that the way the roster gets potentially reshaped here could have something to do with all this. Like the one thing I do believe, Nick, and you know, I know like I've got some friends who are big Canucks fans, and they're like, enough of this already. And I understand it. It's been a lot, and I don't always like talking about it too much myself. But the fact is, it's there, and you know, the kinds of things that have kind of they've dealt with. It's added a lot of stress to the organization this year. And I think it's been hard. I think people are kind of like, we've been dealing with this for years and we don't want to deal with it anymore. And with all the other things you have to deal with in a high pressure market like Vancouver, it just adds stress that nobody wants. And, you know, the one thing is, if, you know, depending on what the Canucks decide to do and what moves they make, it might make everybody feel better. It might be that simple. And then you start to win games and everything goes away. But the one thing, Nick, I do believe is if it's the status quo and nothing changes, then I do think that, you know, everybody's going to sit there and say, you know, are we going in the right direction and do we want to be a part of this anymore? So I think that the answer to that question about Tocchet and others will come to see everybody feels in 2 to 3 months.
Good on that.
Yep.
Friege, there's a story in the news today just about the Ottawa Senators are going to play some exhibition games in Quebec City next year. You know, panic people take that as, oh, no, it's a threat. They're going to move Ottawa to Quebec City. They're not doing that. But is there the potential they start playing a few games there? What's the Quebec City-Ottawa tie?
Well, first of all, I heard some people were mad today because the Ottawa mascot, Spartacat, or whatever the name is, I'm not really good with mascot names, was wearing like a half Senator jersey and a half Quebec City jersey.
Oh, no. Tampa Bay, Montreal.
Like, you can't, like, I don't understand how people can be upset about that. Like, come on. Like, they're doing a press conference in Quebec City to talk about playing exhibition games there. I mean, you can't be upset about that stuff. I think people need to relax.
Yeah.
I think you do. This is such an overblown story. You know, Ottawa's going into Quebec City. They're going to play some exhibition games. They have to show some enthusiasm for the market, right? Yes, we're happy to be here in Quebec City. And I think people should realize by now, like, Nick, you've been covering the business side of the Ottawa Senators for, you know, 25 years. if the league wanted the Ottawa Senators to move, they would have left a long time ago. Like, I don't think on Gary Bettman's watch, Canada's nation's capital is losing its hockey team. Does he wish the building situation was better? Yeah, so do the Senators and their fans. Does everybody wish there was more clarity there? 1,000%. But that team is not going anywhere. And this whole story today, like, I was reading some of the quotes and seeing people mad at the mascot. And I was like, something else. We thank God we got a Logan Thompson contract extension, so I didn't have to think about this for any more minutes.
But this all has to, we're going to let you go soon, but this all has
no worries,
to,
bud.
This all has to ties into the fact that they've had this new owner in Michael Andlauer for a little while now, and they are no closer to a shovel in the ground for a new arena. This has to be part of the frustration.
Yes. I you know what, Nick, I completely understand. Like, I've said this before, my dad was a builder for a long time, and I have some understanding about the way all of this works. And, my dad's a pretty mild-mannered guy. Aside from the stupid stuff I did as a teenager, he didn't get very angry too often, but nothing would make him angrier than dealing with governments when it came to building things. And that's anybody who's in the development business will tell you, it's not ever your schedule. It's always the government's schedule, and it's a frustrating, infuriating thing, and I'm not surprised that this is where we are at all.
All right, buddy. We really appreciate you popping in. Thanks for all your stuff, your feedback constantly. You do a terrific job. We're lucky to have you on the show, blah, 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 blah.
Well, feeling is mutual, guys, and I do love, I love the debate. I love the debate. I really do.
Thanks, Reed. Right. We appreciate your time, man.
All right, Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. Listen, he needs a new rink. Mm. Michael Andlauer needs a new arena. And if it's not going well, then you create a distraction.
Do you think this is flirting with another girl to make that girl
jealous?
Jealous.
We've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
Do you think that it would be 80% Leaf fans in Quebec City? The team move
to watch a fourth straight loss.
So you could do a few games there. You can.
Like during the regular season.
Why not?
Move the Leafs ones there, just a little further east. Hope they don't show up.
Why not?
What did Andlauer say? He said something to the effect of we're putting games in London or something like
no,
that.
No, he said I could pull it up here quickly, but he basically was saying that we'll still have a few games. We'll go from there. They play games in Sweden. Why can't we play games in Quebec City?
There you go. Right?
Good to me.
I get the Sens fans' insecurity on this, where, it's always been talked about how they have, like you said, crappy building, this, that. Like, this has always been out there. You remember Melnick used to be like, remember when he went on, what was it that he said they're going to?
Yeah.
This has always been a conversation with the Sens. So as soon as the new owner is like, hey, we're going to go over there and play a couple games, as a fan of a team, I completely get where they're coming from.
The only reason it super stinks is because they're winning hockey games. They're picking up points.
Two great wins this weekend.
Three back-to-backs in a row. They've gone win-win.
I like their look Saturday night. I didn't watch yesterday's game, but they're a fast-moving hockey club. Yeah. Like, I thought they outskated the Toronto Maple Leafs Saturday.
I'm dying for them to make like two trades. Like get
like a little, big one.
Yeah, like get a little better. Mm. A lot better be good. But like just because everyone is in this tight pack, just give yourself that little boost.
Game time?
Yeah, let's go here. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So like we were talking about off the top of the hour, my beloved Bills are now out of the playoffs, and we're setting up the Eagles and the Chiefs in the big game. Is that what we refer to it as, the big game?
That's
the
large joke.
The large match.
What a joke.
The large match. So I will say I've been keeping an eye on this. The Kansas City Chiefs opened up as a -130 favorite in that game. And it has moved from -130 to -125. The Eagles are +105. It is a 1.5-point spread. Kansas City Chiefs are favored. It is. Here's what I'll say. I will never I'm not betting against Kansas City in a
tight game.
I gamble a little bit in the NFL playoffs. I'm not much of a gambler, but I did a little bit of it throughout. I will say that I will be gambling, and I will be gambling heavily on the Kansas City Chiefs. You cannot go into this game. If you bet on the Eagles and lose, you are the biggest dummy ever. Like, it's like, how can you, you can, if you at least you bet on the Chiefs and they lose, you're like, I can live with myself because I bet on them. Losing with that, it's a terrible. So anyways, that's in 2 weeks, which I absolutely hate. It takes forever for them. So you have to pick at every storyline for 2 weeks until the Grey Cup does it better. Just get it right over with right away. The next thing I'll bring up tonight, Edmonton Oilers back on the ice, playing host to the Seattle Kraken. They are -305 favorites on home ice against the crappy Squids. Buddy, +245 for the Kraken on the other side. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the Kraken, they're bad. I saw Pittsburgh was playing them Friday or Saturday. I was like, Pittsburgh's going to make some annoying run where they get close to playoffs. They're going to roll over the Squids. They're just going to abuse by Seattle. Yes. God, Pittsburgh's rotten.
They had a little stretch there where we thought they're good. And then the other Canadian team on the ice tonight, Vancouver is in St. Louis taking on the Blues. +110 on the money line for the Vancouver Canucks, slight underdogs. And the St. Louis Blues on the other side of the money line, -130. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Yeah, not all is well in Seattle with the commitment that they made to go get Montour.
Oh, yeah.
And Stevenson.
The expectations that would come with.
Exactly, pretty much in the same spot they were last year.
Yeah.
They committed a lot of cash to those two guys.
Well, and what stinks about those sort of commitments, it kind of reminds me of the Elias Lindholm contract, is you're committing a lot of term and money to guys who are like the 40th best player in the league and the 60th best player. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you really want your money in on the guys who really make a difference. And these are good, nice players.
I like Montour.
There,
but they 7 years, $7.1 million.
But he's been their best player.
For sure, he's a great player.
I don't think that cap it's going to look bad. But you're right. You added, and you're no better.
And you're no better. And that's what's not sitting well right now. Yeah. And
I mean,
Bilesman in trouble already 1 year?
I know it's happened in the NFL, has it not? 1 year and you're fired?
Usually three coaches a year have a one year or something.
One and done?
Yeah. But I think it's a couple this year at least.
But, yeah, he's feeling it. I'll say that. I don't know if he's... I don't think his job's in jeopardy, but he's feeling it.
My understanding is that there's four players at the top of this upcoming draft that are really significant. They're players, and a couple of them that can really move the needle. You look at about five teams who've been trying really hard, like Nashville and Pittsburgh, who are below 500. Maybe they just pull the plug now and try to grab one of those guys. Can you see Pittsburgh finishing low and winning the lottery and getting the next generational guy?
Yeah, is it Schaefer, the kid?
Schaefer's the D, maybe. Yeah. It's Hoggins, whatever. But Schaefer's apparently the guy.
That Stevenson contract's a pretty big one. 7 years, $6 million per.
Yeah.
So 6.25 per. That's a big one. That's a big
deal. And what did he have last year? 40 points, 50 points?
Yeah, he's never been
it's not like it's 80.
He had...
What did he have last year?
His career high in points is 65 2 years ago. Last year, he was a -9, 51 points in 75 games.
Yeah.
This year,
like Tavares had 65 like points, him. And everyone here traded him.
But I'd have him at the very best second line.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a fine 2C, and he's not the best 2C in the league. He's good.
Flies.
Beautiful skater.
Anyways, let's go to break.
Okay, we'll go to break, and when we return, a significant defenseman for Team Canada is out of the Four Nations face-off. Mm-mm. We'll give you a name and a possible replacement or two when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, pushing all the right buttons. Derek Brandeo and James Wilson. Wilson!
Jimmy Willie. You scared me there. It looks scary.
I love that movie.
It's a class.
Wait, a volleyball.
totally underrated.
You talk to a volleyball for 2.5 hours. Way to go, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks rules.
It holds up big time.
Haven't played
holds
D for up. Canada.
I watched it like in the last, I think, 3 or 4 years, and I hadn't seen it since it first came out, and I was blown away by how good it was.
Yeah.
It's totally
Are
great.
You guys nervous Flyers?
No.
I am literally asleep within 3 minutes of every plane
I
ever
love
on.
Flying. It's effortless. Me alone.
Too.
I read a book for like 3 hours.
I snore. I wake up with drool on my shirt.
Did you get nervous at all?
No.
Once in a while.
I broke in the league. We were commercial flying. Mm-hmm. And Dale Hunter, every time there was turbulence, he'd start like, no. He'd grasp the handles.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, we're going down. We're going down.
You're all helpful, Dale.
And I'm like,
thank you.
Dale. Like, it's just not us.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
They can hear you. My children can hear. That's
very
funny.
We're going down.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
But it does. Like, there is no really scarier feeling than when you're on a plane and you're going through some, and that drop.
I'm not going to say I think it's cool.
No, that drop and turbulence is like, oh, my God.
It takes 1 second to be like, oh,
we're going down. And I'm Dale Hunter.
There is one small part of me that believes, if it did, I'll survive.
Will you just jump right before impact that plane?
I would think, like, you know, he's like Captain Sully, right?
Yeah, yeah.
New York, landed in the Hudson River.
Yeah. Good movie.
Like, and I've already gone through my mind after I survive, which talk shows I'll do first on the circuit, books, movies.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I don't know.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, you know, good luck.
All right.
Good luck to you.
Is this Friday?
I hope we never have to find that
Is
out.
This Friday's show where we've run out of things to say?
Unfortunately, it's Monday.
Oh, it's Monday.
We got four to go, brother.
All right. As we teed up just prior, Team Canada will not have one of its anchors on defense for the upcoming Four Nations face-off. The Vegas Golden Knights announcing Sunday Alex Pietrangelo has withdrawn from the best-on-best tournament to tend to an ailment and to prepare for the remainder of the regular season. Wow.
And he's not going to miss any games. He's fine. He's just making a statement about what's important
to
him.
Like, what are we doing here?
I'm disgusted by this.
Oh, no.
Truly disgusted.
At Petro?
Yes. Of
what
course.
What is going on here?
I mean, I put out a tweet about this yesterday. And I was blown away by how many people are on Pietrangelo's side. There's like everybody is. Why are we even having the tournament then?
We are
cancel the tournament.
We're shutting the league down to start something.
These guys begged for this. They've begged for this for however many years. Best on best, best on best, a lack of best on best.
Mm-hmm.
And the first an ailment, brother, an ailment, and you're playing. It's a terrible look for the league.
Do I have that right? He's not missing NHL games right now?
He played 20 minutes last night.
What does that tell?
Wow.
What does that say to the other guys that are going?
Well, I mean,
you're more important to rest for your cup run, and I've got to go now play Team Finland in Montreal at minus 10 while my teammates are on a beach.
In Cabo?
Yeah, I guess it's not so much like they're only going to play 3 additional games or whatever the number is. It's low.
It's not a high-impact schedule they're on here.
Yeah, but, you know, it is just the time that you have to put into it, right? There's some practice. You need to know what system we play and who you're playing
meetings.
With. Team meetings. It's the time.
It's work.
And so it's tough to take it seriously that it's about the physical aspect when you can play now and you're only being asked to play, I think it's 3 more games, right? You would play... Each team.
And then a final.
Once and then a final.
Correct. So it's 4 games max.
Right. So, yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I came onto this show with the intent of being like, good for him, leader, captain, prioritizing the Stanley Cup, whatever. I heard from you guys for 4 seconds. And I'm like, God, that stinks, actually.
I could just cancel the tournament then. If guys can just drop out for no reason because they want to
like
focus.
Sid missing an all-star game.
Well, I mean, then they announced today that there's no penalty. Bill Daly said there's no penalty for missing this. But, like, if
or
I'm...
Or should there be? You want guys who want to be there.
But if I'm McDavid, I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, I just got suspended for 3 games. We just went to the Stanley Cup final last year. Like, why am I playing? I should leave, too. I got an ailment.
Somebody, like...
Maybe he's
I don't want to, like, jinx anybody, but somebody's going to get hurt in this tournament. You assume somebody's going to pull a groin, something, but, like... Heaven forbid the Edmonton Oilers lose somebody significant and then end up playing Vegas in a conference final, and one guy's gone because of the tournament and one guy got to stay in because of the tournament, potentially.
Watch them take Bouchard, and then Bouchard gets hit.
Oh,
hurt,
my God.
And they go
imagine
into the first
that?
Round against each other. Well,
right?
Or conference final.
But it's like,
other.
Those are all the dynamics, and it doesn't just stem to those guys. Like, we saw a trade Friday night. The significant part of that is we want to make this trade before the Four Nations. There was some worry out of Carolina and Colorado that Rantanen could go to this tournament for Finland and get hurt.
Yep.
And it's off.
Really?
Yes.
That's Carolina's awesome. Like, we're doing it now or
now.
We're not doing it?
Now.
So, I mean, one of the things I saw a ton of is, and we're getting texts on the text lines like, oh, this is just a stupid tournament. Well, is it? It's a. So
it
it's
is
a,
or it isn't. We're either in on it mattering.
Yeah, so it's sure you can make that argument. It's a stupid tournament, but every super duper star in the league is going to it. Like, it's not like
it's not stupid when the best players on earth are all.
But that's
there.
What everyone's saying. It's like, oh, it's a stupid made up tournament.
No,
it's like,
why Leon Draisaitl? So it's not.
I mean,
it's not everybody.
It's not everybody, but I mean, it's a lot of good ones going.
Listen, For the four biggest countries,
I don't like. You know, it's not perfect by any stretch, but like, you got to start somewhere. You've got to plant the seed. We've pissed too many years away.
Buddy, everyone just wants to see Canada and the U.S. best on best.
No Olympics and no World Cups.
This isn't even about the Four Nations face-off. This is Canada versus the USA.
It's your first chance to play best on best.
If they lose to Sweden or Finland, everyone's going to go, okay, way to go, Sweden or Finland. You want to beat the U.S. And so to not have an important piece, and I'm a part of a show tomorrow night for Hockey Central, or who do you think it should be? Who should step in? And I don't like what's behind it, behind Petro.
Is Petrangelo not like your second pair guy behind Makar? Like, he is a really important cog for this team.
You know, Drew Doughty is trying to come back and be healthy enough. They want to see him play some games.
He's going to play soon.
Yeah.
Right?
He wants to
play in this tournament.
Very much he does.
And I'm thinking, based on his history with Team Canada, he's got to be up there.
He's got to beat out
potential replacement.
Bouchard, Hamilton,
Uyghur. Tanev.
I think Tanev is a very viable option for them. You gotta,
beach.
Well, you want him on the beach.
Beach.
But, you know, that I'm just saying, like, Petro's a sizable step up from that class of player. So it's a shame. I wonder if this hurts him when it comes to the Olympics in 2 years.
How could it not?
Someone getting older, if he's a fringe guy at that point, is this a...
How many guys on Team USA and Team Canada have to worry about looking good in this tournament to jeopardize their Olympic spot?
Some.
Like 15%?
You think it's 10%? That low?
Yes.
Most of the guys, it's like, yeah, of course we're taking Makar. If he's a bad tournament, who cares?
I think there's 15 guys.
Yeah.
16 guys. I think we're talking about three or four.
Yeah.
Right?
So what does it say when you have a guy that's come out, a guy that's been out all year since the preseason with a really bad injury, older guy? What does it say about him who's like, I'm dying to play for this
Doughty,
team?
Yeah.
All I want to do is play for this team. And Petro's like, I got an ailment. I want
to. But, you know, we don't know the Petro thing. Like, maybe it's something quite serious that he's been battling.
Listen, I'm not completely dumping on him.
Yeah.
Okay, I will. I'll be the one that does.
Okay,
I'll be the bad guy.
You can. He's.
Because I care about this stuff.
Me,
but a lot of people don't.
Stanley Cup champion. This guy's bled a lot. He's pissed a lot for clubs to win.
Sure.
And if that's where he's at right now, and his heart and soul's not into it, don't go.
It's as simple as if he's sitting here going, would you rather have a Four Nations or a Stanley Cup? The answer is Stanley Cup. I've prioritized that.
Whatever the case is, I think he's earned the right for me personally.
Sure.
But
I mean,
it's a tough look.
You know who else has earned the right?
Tell us what you think.
It's a tough look for the league and the NHLPA.
You know who else has earned the right? Literally every guy at this tournament.
Yeah, tough to make a case anyone has.
Like, who
Jarvis
has it?
Can't. Seth Jarvis can't. He doesn't get to.
Who? Like, every guy has been in every battle, and like, of cup winners and studs in the league. All the best players out that are for these four teams are going, and they're making an effort. They've all earned the right to not go.
Right.
Just cancel the damn thing.
All right.
Anyways.
We beat it up.
Okay. No. And, like, you know what I'm excited about?
Of course it's Vegas, like, too, boys.
Yeah.
Of course it's Vegas.
I guess.
Cheaty team.
I guess the league and the Players Association are giving complete carte blanche to television to cover this thing. So it's going to have a bit of a different look.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going to have access. They're going to have so much access.
Bench access.
Bench access, cameras, scrums.
Like way more than normal?
Oh, yeah.
It's an NHL product, finally.
You know, the World Juniors.
That's fantastic.
You know the World Juniors when they had that camera jump on, like on a fighter or a scrum or something? Like, this guy will be all over the place.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
The Tkachuk.
And that.
Kachuk, hey, U.S. scrums are going to be delightful.
That may have something to do with the league looking for a new television deal.
Wink, wink. Yeah, give them a little something, something. Here's what we can do.
Yeah.
You like what you see? It's going to cost you.
So lots to look forward to still.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and this won't change my perspective and enjoyment of the tournament, which I'm really excited for. But just
needed to get that off our chest collectively, apparently.
Yep.
All right.
What else is out there tickling your fancy?
Well, we got the Sens showing signs of maturing under pressure. They won three straight back to backs.
Oh, Logan Thompson.
Oh, all right.
That too.
Yeah, Logan Thompson is a six-year deal, 5.75.
You know who else I like is his partner in crime there, Charlie Lindgren. He needs a new contract, too.
Does he?
Yeah. But full credit, man, to this guy.
You know, the Thompson deal is great for both sides to me. He's been a good goalie in the league. He's having a great year. He's young enough. He's earned it. He's earned that contract. But he's also denying himself the chance to be a $10 million goalie if he does it another couple times. So it's possible that Washington has a legitimate, very good starter for under $6 million, which is tough to come by. It's a good contract.
How many years? Six?
It's a lot of years. Six.
Buddy, 30-plus, large. This guy's all set.
Yeah.
Right?
That's contract. Life is made with that contract.
Ugh.
Congrats to your grandkids.
But, yeah, I think it's a really good contract for both sides. Where him getting, I mean, he's a backup in Vegas, and him getting that sort of security, and then them getting him at what seems like a good number. You just hope he's this good.
When has this ever gone wrong, Tristan Jarry, Jack Campbell? You like start running through the list of guys making five
goalies
five,
are
five,
very
six,
scary. Very scary.
Yeah.
Watching Kyle McCarr and Quinn Hughes on the weekend. Like, they're just like, they just do whatever they want.
There's defensemen. They should have a separate award. There's like defensemen, then there's McCarr and Hughes. It's not, they're not doing the same thing as the rest of them.
They are like, they're turning into a Crosby Ovechkin of this generation.
Totally. Great call.
Love that.
I mean, watching McCarr against the Rangers, jumping up in the play and make, I don't know if you saw the end of the Rangers game where Miller tries to go D to D with 20 seconds left as McCarr gets out of the box.
Mm.
Dumb. You know, we made a dumb decision and McCarr made him pay.
McCarr just one stride, strip, gone the other way.
By the way, he one-touched the interception and put it into a perfect place for his next three strides.
I love watching him play.
Yeah.
God, he's...
It is something.
Yeah. Quinn Hughes hasn't locked up the Norris with the way he's played this year is a true testament to how exceptional McCarr is.
The two goals Quinn Hughes scores on Saturday night, backhand through the slot, crossbody, shoots it into a puck-sized hole.
Underestimate, like, what that type of control does for a hockey club when you can walk lines and make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just not enough of them.
And there's going to be like a McHughes Award or something when they're both retired to the best
offensive
human.
Defenseman.
Just the best human.
Most perfect guy.
Most perfect guy gets it.
All right. Our Monday is now officially in the books. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the whole show, you can download it and watch it on YouTube. Plenty of ways to still get your real Kipper and Bourne if you're not lucky enough to watch us live. Hey, Sammy?
Yeah.
I'm sure you got better things to do, in all honesty.
Than watch us?
Than watch us live.
It would be a nightmare to go back and watch.
Hey, so I'm in Oshawa, and all I heard was like, Sammy, how's Sammy? How's JB? A little bit, but Sammy.
Well, I go to Junior Barnes, bud. They love me in Junior Barnes.
God.
I'm a junior hockey guy.
Enough of Sammy. Our thanks to Craig Simpson, Stanley Cup champion. and Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada. Enjoy your games. And we're back tomorrow. Real Kipper and Bourne.